Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights, the sounds, the scenes, the people. And do you guys know what 5.1 is? Do you? You probably think you do, but I think the answer is deeper than you may think. Ara and I are going to break that down, and then I come back afterwards with a little bit more, a little bit of an apology, and a little, not a confession, but some fun stuff. So a little bit different this week, and I'll get into that after Ara and I break down what is 5.1? Where did it come from? It's deeper than you might think.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, Ara, thank you for joining me on this auspicious occasion. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for calling me and say, hey, I got an idea. I want to talk about something that we just talked about.
Yeah. Well, this one was bugging me. Not bugging me in a bad way, bugging me in a great way. Like, what is 5.1? And we're going to get into where this came from by the time we get to the end of this. I want to go through the history of basically how we got to where we are today with the surround sound format. And one of our listeners knows exactly what we're talking about already because he's the one that inspired it. And we'll get to that at the end. But the history of how we got to 5.1, the interesting question that was asked of us this week when we were doing our HT tours. That's the other reason I wanted to have you on is I'm not holding up my end of the bargain when it comes to HT tours. I'm not promoting it enough. I keep doing my shows and then I end the shows and I produce them, I put them out and I go, I forgot to mention it again. So this is our opportunity right here. And it's like, we're getting some great response out of this. And it's fantastic.
If you want to showcase your home theater and any home theater, that's some of the feedback we're getting is a lot of people are happy that we're doing, I'm going to use the term, a layman's home theater, all the way up to the full-blown, let's have somebody design it and install it, home theater. And it gives everybody something that they can aspire to. Because my home theater is nothing like some of these that we're talking about. My home theater is very functional. It's not designed with like yours or some others, but I really enjoy it. It produces a great experience without the movie kind of experience, meaning the movie theater experience. Sorry.
Right.
And we had people with sound bars, so it's a great opportunity for you to showcase your home theater. And maybe you did something really clever, or there was a problem that you had to solve, and you'd like to share. Let us help you share it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's funny because the Star Wars one did really well that you did before I came on, and just from scheduling, really. And then, ever since then, we're not really sure about Mike Schramm's, but it's like it's just such a great image, and the way that the layout on that, and he's getting a great response out of it. But it's like the everyman type theater is getting a great response too.
Yeah, and it connected with a lot of people because it's a multifunction room. It's not just a dedicated theater. You see in that episode where he's got an office in there, he's got a play area for his kids, and he's got a really cool theater area that he enjoys. And I love it. And the Star Wars one that you talked about, that was really cool as well. And that was a bedroom, and he went all out with the whole Star Wars theme, and it's great. It's everyone, this is a great hobby, and no two theaters are alike.
Nope. And and no two opinions are alike either on how to build a theater or
very true
what you need in a theater. But yeah, you can email myself at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com or DM me on Twitter at brightsidehT. Or you can reach Ara at ara@htguys, correct?
Yeah, that's htguys.com. Either one of those will get to the right person, and then we'll get you hooked up and we'll get you on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're having a blast with it. And the people coming on are having fun too, because it's just fun hanging out with these people and talking to them about their theaters and stuff. So a lot of fun. Yeah. So, but because of all that, we came up with this, what is 5.1? And that's why I wanted to have you back, because you and I talked about it after the show, after we were talking the other day. And I'm like, it's been bugging me ever since. And that's why I said, I got to have you back on the show. And let's start with a little bit of the history of surround sound in the theater and stuff, which we all know, but we're building to this, what is 5.1 idea. And we all know Dolby Stereo came about because of Star Wars, George Lucas, 1976. That was the idea of it. But then it came into the home in 82 for surround sound with hi-fi VCRs. That was the idea. And at that time, it was only three channels. You had a left, a right, and a mono surround channel, which people would then matrix and turn it into right, you know, front, I'm sorry, left and right rears, right, Ara?
Yeah, but it would still send the same information to both surrounds.
Right. It was a mono signal. It's not like
you had a discrete surround, right? Yep. Yes.
Yep. And then from there, we got the ProLogic channel, because actually that three channel system that Dolby Surround did, that's where we got the Phantom Center. So what they did is if you sat in the middle, even in the early days in 82, between 82 and 87, there was no dedicated center channel. It was, you just sat there and you got the Phantom Center, which people still use today. But in 87, they came out with the ProLogic, which was basically, not basically, they matrix left and right, took the and put it into the middle and gave it a dedicated channel. So then we had four channels. So now we still had mono in the rear, correct?
Yes. We don't get discretes in the rear till we get to digital.
Right. And so we had that four channel. It was still, everything was called Dolby Stereo early on, Dolby Surround, then it was ProLogic, and it wasn't until they came out with AC3, that was in 95, and that's when we get into the 5.1, that's where that 0.1 came in, right?
Right. But real quick story about my first experience with Dolby ProLogic over the air. I was watching X-Files,
yeah,
and I had a Sony receiver that would decode ProLogic. And it was a scene, and it was a very quiet scene, and there was a dog barking, and it came out of the surrounds. It was fantastic. It just, this dog barking in the surrounds justified that purchase. And I pointed to it to my wife very proudly, said, "See, that's why we have these." He couldn't care less, but I loved it. And we've come a long way since that dog barked in the background of X-Files.
Yeah, we won't get into the nitty gritty here, but it's amazing how they even came up with, I mean, just Google how the history of it, Google how they came up with the matrix for the mono surround sound and what they did. It's like they put it out of phase from the, because everything was based off of Dolby Stereo. So from the early days, it was always Dolby Stereo. So like, if you didn't have a surround sound system, you still got the Dolby Stereo, but everything was matrixed off of that. Similar to how they're doing today, where we get an Atmos track off of their basic, a 7.1 right. surround, right? So it was all backwards compatible, forward compatible, whatever. But that mono channel was still just a, you know, early on, that was still just a mono channel that we considered, that was all it was. It was considered one channel, whatever we did with it. And then we came out with the 5.1. And Ara, why did we call it 5.1 at the time?
Because it was the LFE, the low frequency, was... So what happened was all the channels could have low frequency, but mm-hmm. not all the speakers could recreate it. In fact, to make a speaker recreate the low and the high frequency was a little bit more complicated than just having a speaker that could concentrate on the upper frequencies. Well, they said, what if we took, didn't matter which channel, the low frequency, and we just sent it off to a subwoofer, and that became the .1. So it's not a separate channel, it's the low frequency on all the channels, just goes off to the subwoofer, because at that frequency, it's non-directional. So it doesn't matter where it's coming from.
Right. And so they dedicated, instead of calling it a six-channel system, they called it a 5.1, because it was only, the other one was, it was 10%, the lower 10%. And as a matter of fact, early on, speaking of frequencies, the rear channel was only the higher frequencies in the early on, in ProLogic and under. The rear channels were only, I think, I want to say, I don't even remember. They didn't go down low at all. It was just the higher end frequencies for that, for the mono channel. They cut it off. But
yeah, usually everything above 85 Hertz.
I think it was even higher than that. I think it was
for the
surround channels, because then they were, like I said, then they were phasing, they were putting it in opposite phase so that you got that effect. And you could have multiple, you could put two channels back there and get a more of an ambient sound effect. That's all it was meant for. But then, of course, 5.1 came along, and it was supposed to be five full-range speakers, full-range channels, and then your 0.1, your LFE effect. Actually, Ara, let me ask you this. Was the 0.1 just, that's the way you just explained it, this was pre-LFE effect, correct?
Yes, it was simply because it was an easy way to offload the work for the speakers, and they didn't have to try and recreate all the sound. Now, there's some speakers, usually when you see large and small, when you're going through your calibration, large just means they can support frequencies below, say, 85 or 100 hertz. If they're small, even if the speakers themselves are big, they'll be called small because they don't support the speaker, the frequencies below 100 hertz. And there are speakers that will do that, and I've got some speakers that'll do that, and they sound pretty good, but they're quite expensive. But you can make cheaper, or I should say less expensive speakers that don't have to support that full range, and that's why you have the subwoofer. They came up with this format.
Right, and then it was years later, we come out with the LFE effect, which was supposed to be even a lower frequency for movies, for the explosions and all that. So then we go from there, that's Dolby Digital and all the different versions that we get of Dolby Digital. Then we come out with Atmos. So we live with 5.1. It went to, actually, we went to 6.1, which was then 6.1 at the time was, what was 6.1? I forget.
It was basically the left and right matrix, and that's what gave you your sixth. The channel.
You're six. That's right. So instead, it's basically 7.1, but your rears were matrix to make one channel out of one. It was a mono signal in the rear. So you could either, and some people actually did that. They actually had one speaker in the middle of the back room. But if your room was wide enough, they recommended, it's all coming back to me. They recommended two channels, but it was still just a mono signal. Okay. So then we get to, like I said, now we're getting into Atmos, or we get to 7.1, and then we get to Atmos, and then we get 7.1, and then however many channels you want to put at the top, because Atmos is supposed to, it's a minimum of 512, correct?
Yes.
But it's unlimited in theory. The idea of Atmos is the system should be able, you know, it can actually, however many speakers you put in, it turns those into discrete speakers and then would just, it would map the sound correctly.
Right. The more you have, the better and more precise you can pinpoint the sound. So you think of it as a bubble, and now you can have a lot more resolution in that bubble. And they can use matrixing between the rears and the Atmos to kind of get you a sound in between. And it's pretty cool. And the receivers today will be able to handle that. And I remember a time there was a company called SRS Labs that now is part of THX, I believe. And I went to a demo there, and they had a room with, I think, something like 30 or 40 speakers in there. And they were showing how that you could pinpoint the sounds. And he said, okay, I'm going to turn off most of these speakers. So they turned off a whole bunch of them, and they were still able to make the sound like where it was at. And he said, so for the theory here is, you just tell it how many speakers you have, and where they are, and then we'll put the sound where the sound needs to be. That's kind of where they wanted to go with this.
Exactly. Exactly. So like the sound engineer, when he's designing the sound for whatever piece of content, so he's manipulating it on an Atmos system that will, or, and it's the same for DTSX, actually.
Right.
The object-based. It's so, the idea is the system that's engineering this understands it, and then our receivers on the other end can now take that information and map it out to the amount of channels that that receiver can handle. But I remember reading about this, and it's like, you could have 24 channels in a room if you could get, or if you had that kind of power, and the computer would then map that correctly, and those would all be discrete channels, and then you would matrix between those channels. It's an insane amount, but the idea would be, so we're talking 7.1.4 right now, say, right? But then you could literally have 24 around your room, 0.7 across over the top of your head or something, whatever you wanted to do. But that was the idea of Atmos, is that it was unlimited amount of speakers.
Yeah, and I misspoke. I said THX. DTS is the one who bought SRS Labs.
Oh, okay. But now let's get to the question of the week. What is that middle channel? What is 5.1? And it was Steve George. We were going through his, and he said he felt like a fraud. I don't remember his exact phrasing. But isn't the 5.1 just the channel? And he's 100% correct, because we have turned that 0.1 into the amount of subwoofers you have. But it's actually, this is all based on channels, not speakers. Right, Ira?
Well, actually, not even channels, frequencies, because it's not a separate channel. But yeah, he brought that to our attention. He says, I have got two subwoofers, so is it a dot two or is it really a dot one? Because it's not like there's different information going to the subwoofers. And I was thinking, you know, that makes sense. To me, I would just say it's a dot one system. I'm just using two subwoofers to get to it. And then I even took it one level further when a DJ and I had the conversation. Well, what happens if you've got a subwoofer and bass shakers put together, both coming off of the receiver that's got two subwoofer outputs? And is that a dot two system? But so in one regard, it's just your LFE. And now what DJ is saying is the two is the number of subwoofers. But what if you've got three subwoofers or four subwoofers? Is it dot four?
Yeah.
Dot four?
That's what people are doing. That number has turned into the identification of how many subwoofers you have, when in actuality, that identification was founded as just, like you said, the frequency. Now, the other numbers are all accurate because you have that many in that space. You have that many channels or that many frequency going through that space, correct? So if you have overhead, say you have four overhead speakers. Well, you have four overhead channels over there. So that's the accurate number. But your actual subwoofer, it's still one channel. Even if your subwoofer even if your receiver has two subwoofer outputs on the back, that is still just the same signal. They just split it for you using the receiver.
Right.
So
yeah, because what you said about the Atmos, think about this. Let's say there was an Atmos track that had 10 overhead channels. Mm-hmm. And they were somehow able to virtually give you those 10, even though you've only got four physical speakers, but your receiver can give you 10 through a virtualization. Do you say you've got a dot 10 system now?
No,
I don't think so. But that's where we're starting to lose. It's starting to not matter anymore. It's more of we're now in a bubble and they can pinpoint the audio wherever they want. And I think now we need to talk about the physical as well as the virtual. So I have physically, I've got a 7.2.4 system, but virtually I've got a, 20.2.10, whatever, you know? So yeah, that's something that as these receivers get more powerful, we'll be able to virtualize quite a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know why. I love the idea that we've taken that one and it's like it was never a channel. It was always just the, supposed to be something else. And it was, I had a whole other show designed for this week. And I'm like, no, I have to do this. I got to get this off my chest. I'm like, I gotta tell. And I, that's why I called you, and that still wasn't enough. So I was like, let's do a show. But yeah, it's, where do you think now, let's end this with, where do you think this could potentially go? Because this idea that we've manipulated all this, everything that's going on, I know, I think my listeners know what my idea is, but where, how much further can we go with this? Where we're already at the point where we've created a bubble and can Matrix unlimited.
Yeah, that's a good question. I have kind of waffled back and forth to thinking, if you've bought yourself a good receiver now that can support 11 channels, and you know it'll support Dolby Atmos and the two subwoofers, you probably bought your last receiver. That's kind of where I was at a little while ago. But then, you know, who knows where it's going? I think we're, what new technology can come about? I don't think there's anything new. And as soon as I say that, there will be. But my point is, now with the virtualization, you can have unlimited number of channels. And the more speakers you put into your system, of course, the better the virtualization. But I think in a typical room, if you can get four speakers in your ceiling, and then the typical 7.1 or even .2, like you were saying, system, you should be able to, why do you need more than that? Literally, why do you need more than that?
Well, that's where I want to go. I think the only thing we need to do to create that true 3D bubble around you, and I mean completely around you, is we need lower speakers to be able to triangulate and pull some sound down a little bit more to the floor directionally. So maybe, like, if you're in a plane and another plane flies under you, you can get some of those higher pitch sounds go sweep under you. I think that's the only direction we have to go right now.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever as excited about it as me.
No, you know where I think we could get a little bit, and I've seen an ad for this couch that you put together that has speakers in the couch.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the other place where we could put smaller speakers, like in the armrest and that kind of thing, to get you that, that, you know, below you and that kind of thing. Perhaps we could do something like that. Maybe they can come up with some sort of transducer that can go in your carpet, and you could, you can get that below. I know what you're doing, where you're going with this, but in my theater, there's so much activity. When Atmos first came out, I wasn't a big fan because I said, I've got way more information with my 7.1 system. I don't need those additional speakers. And early on, the Atmos mixes, I didn't think were that good or compelling, I should say. Now, however, I think the Atmos is a lot better. I think the engineers know how to use it better. The sound people know how to use it better, and the tools are better. So you get a much better Atmos mix. So I've kind of retracted or backtracked from my original statement, but there's still a lot of information. And I think where it really shines is when you're trying to pinpoint one sound and you can pinpoint it. That's where it really shines. But if you've got a whole bunch of stuff going on, explosions, Atmos gets lost in everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. The other thing is where you can really see that Atmos is shining, or any of this object based, let's not leave DTS:X out of this, is that in the upmixing of a standard 5.1 mix and using DTS Neural X or Dolby Surround upmixing, you can still, it feels so much more like that object based, because I am pinpointing sounds where there is no speaker. Or it's even like in between your overhead speakers. So this is a 5.1 mix, like most of Christopher Nolan's stuff. And I'm hearing sounds in places that there are no speakers. And it's like, that's how good it's getting already. And we don't necessarily need that Atmos mix to experience it, because our receivers, an Atmos receiver, or an object-based receiver, can handle this already, even with the old mixes. Really cool. Really cool stuff. So I know
we'll see how long it takes.
Okay.
No, we'll see how long it takes before my prediction of you don't need a new receiver gets overwritten by I need a new receiver.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. We're in the hobby where we always want the next latest and greatest thing. All they got to do is show us something shiny and we're going to buy it.
Exactly.
So, all right, Ara, I know you're in a hurry. You have to go record with Braden, who I just realized was on my show last week. So I might have to rename my show. But
that's hilarious. Okay, back to back. You got back to back.
Got back to back HT guys on the Bright Side Home Theater podcast. So, all right. Thank you for jumping on. I really appreciate it. And I will see you again on the next HT tours.
Sure. Thank you. My pleasure.
So I opened the show with it may be deeper than you think. And that wasn't just a pun on, you know, point one being the, deeper base. That was, is it deeper than you thought? Did you know all, like, did you realize that? I know you guys all knew that. If you think about it, you know that's where 5.1 came from, where we got 7.1.4 and all of that. But it just kind of blew my mind when it just, like, it all just came flooding back to me. And that's why I had to do the show on it. If for another reason, too. Super busy. So I wanted to let out a little apology here for not reviewing U571. Actually, before I get to that, thanks to Steve George for even mentioning this. It was just a question that he had in the when we were recording his theater. And it, like I said, threw my mind for a loop. So thanks to Steve George, as always, at Legal Beagle OK on Twitter. But thanks for that. You never know. You ask a question, there are no stupid questions. So you never know what's going to come from it. And I can honestly say lost a little sleep on that one because I was so excited about it. Just the evolution of the point one. But anyways, yes. So the little bit of an apology. Like, I don't think I have to apologize, but I want to do reviews. That's what I'm about. The sights, the sounds, the experiences. By the time this comes out, the surprise will be over, but my wife went away and I decided to do some remodeling on the house while she was away as a surprise to her for when she got home. And as I'm recording this, she's actually on her way home from the airport. So I've been really busy this week. I sat down to watch U571 and I stamped it out and I have like 35 scenes. Such a great movie. We all know that. Everybody's that one has been requested for a long time. So that one is stamped out. As soon as I can sit down and go over all 35 scenes with the appropriate enthusiasm and vigor that I give it, I will do that. I have guests lined up that are very exciting coming up too. Lots of great stuff. So that's why I wanted to take this opportunity as well to thank you guys, to thank everybody for motivating me, for just have what a great community. Talking with Steve this week, just because we happened to be filming his theater, and he thanked me and Ara for doing this. And then he said, you know, he goes, he thanked me for helping with this community. And I said, you know what? I'm like, I'm building the community. And then I corrected myself and I would like to correct myself moving forward because I'm not building this community. This community already existed. I'm gathering it. And that's what I'm trying to do. And it's like, I want a place where we can all come and talk like this. And I am overwhelmed by the response from my Takeover Tuesdays. Thank you to everybody, whether you're participating literally by being on the show or just the emails and the DMs that I get thanking me for having these people on. Every single guest that's been on, I've gotten comments on how great they were. It was Dan last week. He was like, oh, I hope I wasn't, you know, I understand it's, you get nervous coming on the show. I don't blame you. I was nervous when I first sat down. Go back and listen to when I talked to Rich Keefe. I got nervous just, and this is my show and he was on my show and I got nervous because he's literally a radio professional. And I don't know. I got nervous too. So I understand it, but here's the thing. And I got an email this week and I wanted to mention it here. I won't mention who it was from. He'll know by listening. But I was really touched by the email because he outlined that basically we have mirrored home theater lives. He started in home theater with Star Wars like I did. He started with a VHS, hi-fi VCR like I did. He progressed to Laserdisc, went to DVD. He literally got his Kaleidoscape a month before I got mine. He had a Zepedi. He knows. So his email was like, he was amazed at how much we have mirrored each other. I have other listeners the same. Anybody older like my, I'm old. But anybody like my age that's been in home theater this long, I don't think it's a coincidence. It's like, we loved it in the 80s and that was the progression. You had no other path, right? But anyways, so I'm reading his email and I was so excited because he's so enthusiastic. And as he's writing, he's like, I hope this isn't too rambling, I think he said, because I have a hard time writing. And I'm like, that's me. I hate writing. I'd rather talk. So that's why I did a podcast instead of being a writer or anything like that about something that I love like this. So I asked, I emailed him back. I go, oh my God, you would be great to come on my Takeover Tuesday. And I got an email back from, no, I can't do it. I'm too nervous. And here's where I was touched and I completely understand, but he's not the only one. Other people have said the same thing, but what he said was, he said, I'm afraid that people will make fun of how much of a nerd I am. And I was like, what? I'm like, oh my God. But I completely understand it because that has been our lives in home theater. It's like, it has turned it into a reflex, because when we start talking home theater out in public with our family and friends and stuff, we get the eye rolls, or what people will literally call you a nerd. And sometimes it's not even in the fun way. Like we call it like, hey, home theater nerds, right? We love it. Amongst ourselves, we get it. But some people are like, oh my God, you're a nerd. And you're like, ugh. And I completely understand that. But I understand. But I also want people to know that, of course, nobody here is like, the only people listening are people that love this stuff. And the response I've gotten, and I'm not saying any of this to say, like, to try and talk that listener into coming on. I understand it. I have no problem. I told him I would love to continue our conversation through email, and I will do so. I don't expect him to come on. But the thing is that's for everybody that came on. Thank you so much. For everybody that's going to come on, thank you so much. For everybody that's just been so encouraging, because people, I think everybody knows, whether you come on the show or you write to us, anybody in home theater knows, it's like, there aren't a lot of us out there. So to be able to talk and to be able to have these conversations with like-minded people is a rare thing. And that's why we love listening to all these different podcasts. We love learning. We love talking. We love sharing our knowledge. And like I just said with Ara earlier, there are no two home theaters that are alike, because our home theaters are an art form. We design them as an experience. It's like our home theaters are like an amusement park ride, and we designed them, whether it's on a living room theater, whether it's a dedicated theater, regardless of what you've put into it, you've done everything for a reason to create that experience. And that's what I love to talk about. And when people come on, I want to talk about their experiences, how they got there, whether that was through car audio, which seems to be a common path, right? Cause I've been in it. I've had plenty of people on that have been in car, that are into car audio, all of the different things. And that's what I like about doing those Takeover Tuesdays. I love that people are getting more comfortable about talking about more than home theater as well in those shows. And the response to that has been great. It's people like, oh, it's such a fun conversation. It's not just home theater. It's 2 hours around there of people just hanging out and just talking, and obviously based in home theater, but we're people, and it's just fun. And thank you to everybody. Really. Thank you very much for everything. Who knows where this podcast is going? Of course, I'm going to still be doing my reviews, but it's growing, and it's all because of you guys. And it's the podcast, the community, all of that. The community's coming together. The podcast is growing. I had no idea this is where I would be when I started out before, you know, like 3 years ago. But here we are. We're all here together having a blast. So thank you very much. Keep the questions and comments coming. I have up to like 4 or 5 now. That'll be a different podcast. But yeah, if you want to be on the show, if this is your first time watching this, because this will be on YouTube as well, just email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com or DM me on Twitter at @brightsideht. And you can be on the show, take over Tuesdays. And we just have a conversation. It's audio only. So if you're on YouTube and you're watching this, go to my YouTube, go to my, any of my, it's on all the platforms, Apple, Spotify, blah, 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 all those podcast platforms, and check out the Takeover Tuesdays. These are real people. The different microphones, I don't want people with professional microphones. I want that realism. Whatever you got, let's make it authentic. That's what you have. I love the echo in the room. I love that, you know, it's like, that's what makes it real. That's what we are. We're real. You want to have, you know, a better microphone, or you, because I've had some listeners like, oh, I got to get a better mic. Some guests have come on and been like, oh, they'll hear themselves back and they'll contact me and be like, I'm getting a better microphone for next time. And I'm like, I love the enthusiasm that they want another microphone, and I love the enthusiasm that they can't wait to come back. So it's just been great. So yeah, if you want to be on the show, just let me know and we'll schedule it. I'm many, many weeks out now with guests lined up. I've also got some more guests for the show as well, for Friday's shows. So yeah, look, it's so much fun. So much fun. Sights, the sounds, the experiences, and the people are growing. So thank you very much. And as Dan said, there will never be any commercials in my shows. I won't do commercials. I can't do commercials. I love the products that I love and I have. And that's it. I can't pitch stuff. I'm not a salesman. I won't do that. I've had people approach me and they want, you know, to sponsor the show. And I always say, sure. What are you looking for? And then I can't meet those requirements. I won't do that. I've had a lot of people ask me to do, and listeners, a bunch of listeners, all the time, follow my Twitter feed. And you'll see people like, hey, I bought another one. Oh, you should do this. Or you should do Amazon. You should do that. And nothing against the people that do that. That's their business. And they pitch the movie and you buy it through their site. They get a kickback. That's fine. But for me personally, and I know you guys wouldn't mind, but my personal motivation when I do something, when I sit down to do a movie, I want to do it because it struck me. Not because I think I can sell it, or it's a conflict of interest within myself. And so like doing U571, it's like, I want to do that movie because that's obviously you guys asked for it. So you already have it, right? So I wouldn't make any money there. But when I do an obscure movie, I don't even want the hint of anybody ever to be able to think, oh, he's only doing this because he knows nobody has it and maybe he'll sell a couple. Because I've done some obscure movies that I know a lot of you haven't had. And I love the idea, like, if you don't have it, you have to track it down or something. I have to, or dust it off your shelves. I say that. But I always want that to be, within myself, I want it to be authentic. So there'll never be anything like that. The only way I support the show is through you guys. And if you want to support the show monetarily, you go to Patreon and you can do that. I'm not a big promoter of myself. It's not what I like to do. If you want to support the show, you support the show. If you don't, it's fine. I'm here because I love it and that's what it is. So thank you everybody. Sorry for the shorter show this week again, but hey, we're having fun and I'm back on Tuesday with another great guest. So we're going to have some fun. I don't know what I have for next week. Maybe I'll get U571 done. But as a lot of you have encouraged me, like, do what I can do. We're all just having fun and relax and have fun with it. So I still feel pressure to get you the movies out, get the reviews out of my movies, of my breakdowns, I should say, because I love doing that. But yeah, but because of you guys, I am feeling a little more relaxed and I can give you something a little different. And thank you for that. I really appreciate it. So have a great week, everybody. I'm going to have a great weekend. My wife is landing. She's on her way to the house now. I haven't seen her in a few days, so can't wait for her to see the house and see the surprise. So I will see you guys on Tuesday. But until then, go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.